It was surely some kind of record for speed. 3 days after the end of the war, and a full 10 before the first American soldier set foot in Japan, the preceding newspaper advertisement appeared for what would be the nation's first post-war black market. One of the very few paid announcements in print at the time, it was a call to commerce hardly anyone expected so quickly, given the wretched, bomb-ravaged condition of Tokyo. Once a teeming castle town of wood and paper houses, Japan's capital was now mostly cinder, the ground one massive flat layer of residue from the terrible B-29 Superfortress incendiary attacks. The heavily populated lowlands to the east by Tokyo Bay, where the merchant and artisan classes had lived and worked, had all but been obliterated, as had vast sections of the neighboring industrial city of Kawasaki and the port of Yokohama, further to the south. Drivers of what few cars there were frequently got lost because it was so difficult to distinguish the road from the rubble of shattered roof tiles and burned-out homes. All that was left standing were several marble and stone buildings in the commercial business centers of the capital, Marunouchi, Ginza, and Nihonbashi, which the occupation authorities were planning to use for themselves. For most of Tokyo's inhabitants, existence was a living hell. Homeless, numbering in the millions, lived in jerry-built huts of chicken wire, rocks, and cardboard, occupied subway stations and air raid shelters, or camped out in large bomb craters in the street. There was so little available food that people would travel hours to the countryside to trade expensive heirlooms for a tiny share of a farmer's crop. Yet by August 20th, only 5 days after Japan had officially conceded defeat, the Ozu open-air market was ready to roll. Located at the main entrance of the Western commuter hub Shinjuku Station, or what was left of it, it boasted a startling array of goods. Displayed on wooden crates were pots, pans, kettles, plates, silverware, cooking oil, tea, rice, leather, electrical goods, and geta, wooden clogs, along with vast quantities of military equipment and clothing. Most of the wares for the market, which bore the romantic-sounding name Hikari wa Shinjuku Yori, the light shines forth from Shinjuku, had been stolen from a secret supply of provisions for a ghost army of 4 million men that was to have been mobilized in the event of an American invasion of the mainland. The Potsdam Declaration had decreed that the Japanese government would have to surrender all such materials. However, with Japan in a weird post-surrender netherworld where no one was really in charge, looters appropriated an estimated 70% of all supplies held in military depots throughout the country, providing the Ozu market with its windfall inventory. The Kanto Ozu Gumi, Kanto Ozu Gang, was the largest crime syndicate in western Tokyo at the time. They were tekiya, itinerant peddlers, racketeers, a type of gangster in Japan that for centuries had monopolized the festival vending stalls at temples and shrines. They contrasted with the bakuto, gamblers, who also dated back to feudal times, and with the latter-day stevedores, rickshaw drivers, and day laborers under control of the slum labor bosses who had also formed underworld gangs.